This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our special guest is Lori Stevemer, who is President-elect of the National Pork Producers Council, or NPPC, for Minnesota. She'll join us in just a moment. First off, let's talk corn planting progress. Brad Rippey is a meteorologist with USDA.
We saw a raft of new states moving into double digits overall for corn planting progress. And that list includes Illinois now 10% planted, Kansas 17%, Kentucky at 14% planted, Missouri a big jump from 7 to 30% planted during the week, and also two other states, North Carolina 28% planted, Tennessee 23%, to go along with Texas leading the nation at 65% planted.
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by Lori Stevemer, who is President-elect for the National Pork Producers Council. And from, do I say Easton, Minnesota, or near Easton, Minnesota?
Well, technically, our farm is 3 miles from Easton, Minnesota, so I guess that would make near Easton, Minnesota correct.
Well, either way, welcome to the show. We're excited for the opportunity to talk with you, and let's start a little about you and your background. I mentioned President-elect to the National Pork Producers Council, and we'll dig into that in just a moment, but about you, did you grow up in ag? How'd you end up where you are today?
Yeah, and I'm happy to be here, Tony. And actually, you know, the short story is I grew up on a farm and I married a farmer. But a little more to that, I grew up on a farm on South Central Minnesota. We had animals and livestock and crops, and went to college and got a career in the animal nutrition business as a feed salesperson, and lo and behold, met my husband, who was a pig farmer. And today, you know, we raise pigs, we raise corn and soybeans on our farm here by Easton. We have 3 adult kids, and just continue my career in the animal nutrition business and sales and marketing, in addition to my work with NPPC. So I kind of feel like I'm all agriculture all the time. But that's absolutely okay.
Well, I'm just thinking here as we talk about this, really the opportunity for you to have touch points, if you will, with producers in many different ways. Obviously, from NPPC, but the work with Hubbard Feeds, and just many different areas that you have the opportunity to really have the pulse of ag. Is that safe to say?
You know, that is correct, and I've always considered that a real opportunity and advantage, because not only do I interact with the farmers here around us, but also through NPPC on a national level, and then, like you alluded to, just as our business with Hubbard Feeds and part of Alltech, getting input and experiences with producers across the country. So a lot of different angles and perspectives, but I really appreciate that, and it's, I think, helped me be a better producer and a better representative also.
Let's talk about NPPC now, National Pork Producers Council. Many will already know about it, but it's a good opportunity to revisit who NPPC is and what the role is in the industry.
Yeah, NPPC is a voluntary organization. So we're funded by our strategic investment partners. They're paying 15 cents per dollar of hundredweight of value to help fund our efforts. And we focus on public policy, on regulatory issues, and also trade. So very key issues for our producers that really all kind of roll back up into their right to farm, their livelihood that they are out there working on every day.
Okay, let's dig a little deeper here. There are obviously some priorities, and we'll get over to maybe the Farm Bill priorities in a moment, but there are concerns that the industry has, and this is especially with disease. We've seen disease outbreaks in other parts of the globe, and has decimated the industry. Is that a concern here in the U.S.?
It's a big concern for our producers, our pig farmers. And, you know, when we heard about ASF in China or in Europe, it was concerning. But when we had ASF in the Western Hemisphere, in Haiti and the Dominican Republic, I mean, that brought it closer to us. And so a lot of the work that we do with a lot of other individuals is focused on that disease prevention and preparedness. And the steps that we can take, whether it's as a country or on our individual farms through our biosecurity and production practices, to help keep a disease like that out.
Now, some of the work actually was put into the previous farm bill. I guess one thing to talk about it, a whole nother thing to go ahead and put the money and make it all happen. Have we done a good job there, or is there still room to improve?
Well, I would say we've done a good job, and we certainly appreciate the funding that we've received to date, but we need to continue to build up our vaccine bank so that we can be prepared against a foreign animal disease. Our national lab network, those 60 labs across the United States that do the testing and the diagnostic work for us, that's really important. And then in many cases, our first line of a defense as people come into our country are the detector dogs. So the Customs and Border Patrol people that are using the Beagle Brigade to go through the airports and sniff the baggage, we need to have continued funding for that Beagle Brigade and their training center in Atlanta, Georgia.
And again, the industry really understands how important this is and what the stakes are. But for those that are outside of agriculture, why is this so important to them?
You know, that's a great question, and you're right. People might say, you know, so what? But when you look at pork production here in the United States, I mean, we're a world leader in pork production, and we export about 27% of our pork products, and that brings $61 of value to each pig. So if a foreign animal disease comes, something like ASF, we have to shut down those exports. So automatically, $61 worth of value goes away from each pig on our farms. And that's significant. So that underscores why keeping diseases out and keeping our industry thriving and playing on a world market and a world field is very important.
And I'm glad you mentioned that, because exports really do play a pretty big role for the U.S. pork industry. Is that a safe assumption?
You know, it is. It is. We had about $7.6 billion worth of exports last year, and it was a bit of a down year for us. But so far, the first few months of this year, I mean, exports are up a little bit, and so that's encouraging. And you know, as I mentioned, about 27% of our pork is exported, and much of it is cuts that we don't necessarily eat here in the United States. So some of those different parts of the animal that other countries value more than we do are the things that we can export and get value to our carcasses. So it's very important to us.
Okay. We mentioned earlier Farm Bill, or I guess I mentioned the Farm Bill, and we're rewriting or possibly writing a new farm bill for 2023. When you look at priorities for the industry, what would kind of come to the surface here?
Well, as I mentioned, we don't have a lot of asks in the farm bill, but those that we do have are important. And certainly those that I mentioned in terms of the disease preparedness and prevention are key. The National Lab Network, the vaccine bank. A couple of other important asks that we have are continued funding for the USDA's Foreign Ag Service so that we can get market access programs and foreign market development programs continuing to be funded. So building up those relationships with other countries, getting access to their markets, and then getting those markets developed are really key. that keeps our exports growing. And as we talked earlier, I mean, that really helps keep our industry vibrant.
And I couldn't let you go without asking you, what is it like to actually be at the White House? Because if I remember correctly, it was, I think, 3 years ago, signing of the USMCA. Were you at the White House?
You know, actually, I did have the opportunity to be there and for the signing, and I got close enough to see President Trump, and actually had a chance to say hello to Vice President Pence at the time. And, you know, it was just, it was a great opportunity. To be able to see that type of historic signing and to be there amongst all those individuals was really rewarding. And, you know, it's a great opportunity, but it being on NPPC, I always considered it a big responsibility too. So even though I have the opportunity to do, you know, significant things like that, I am representing my fellow pork producers and very important issues to them. And I never overlook that, and I always keep that in mind, and I take that very seriously.
So, Lori, we've covered a lot of ground here, but if we want to keep up with what's happening within the pork industry and actually through the National Pork Producers Council, can we do that online? Is that a good place to go?
That is a great place to go. Our website, nppc.org, has been updated over the past few months by our comms team. There's a lot of great resources there, whether it's economic impact, and we've got a new economic update that was just released the other day. We have information on our other key issues, and certainly just a good place to go to get all that additional information.
Well, again, if you want to find that online, you can do it, nppc.org. Lori, thanks for your time. Come back and see us soon, will you?
I will. Thank you very much for having me.
Again, it's the president-elect for the National Pork Producers Council from Minnesota, Lori Stevemer, and joins us on today's Agribusiness Report.
There's a tradition down here in the South, a tradition of hard work, a tradition of straight talk. For more than 100 years, Delta Pine Cotton has been a proud part of that tradition. With proven yield potential and genetics you won't find anywhere else, Strong is a legacy all its own. Protect yours with Strong Cotton from Delta Pine Brand. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
United Ag is one of the largest association health plans to offer healthcare benefits for the agricultural industry. Their mission is to bring innovative healthcare solutions to agriculture by meeting their members' employee benefit needs. Join today and take advantage of the premier benefits offered by United Ag. United Ag is committed to contributing to a strong and healthy ag industry. For more information or to join, visit www.unitedag.org.
Welcome back. It's the Agribusiness Report, NPPC, releasing their second quarter pork industry economic update. Says production increased 2.3% through the first quarter. USDA now projecting a 1.4% annual increase in pork production this year.
Life doesn't come with guarantees, but working with Rob Seco comes pretty close. Our strategic investments in the seed we offer are designed to directly improve your bottom line. From full trait platforms, breeding and development, to field-by-field planning and seed-driven crop inputs, with Rob Seco, you have precisely what you need to improve plant performance and increase yield. Every farm, every crop, and every acre. Learn more at robseco.com.
I'm Tucker Brown, a sixth-generation rancher, and I plan on seeing you at the 2023 Hemp Hill County Beef Cattle Conference, April 25th and 26th in Canadian, Texas, sponsored by Capital Farm Credit. As a young rancher, there are many challenges, and this event gives me powerful information, resources, and network opportunities to keep the ranch in the family and the family in the ranch. Register today online at Hemp Hill County Beef Conference website or call 806-323-9114.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Special guest Lori Stevemer with the National Pork Producers Council online, nppc.org.
Let's talk about cotton research. Cotton Incorporated funds more than 400 ag research projects every year. They study cotton, engineering, economic development, entomology, agronomy, pathology, variety selection, expanded cotton seed uses. And that's just the start. You grow the cotton, the Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
There's a tradition down here in the South, a tradition of hard work, a tradition of straight talk. For more than 100 years, Delta Pine Cotton has been a proud part of that tradition. With proven yield potential and genetics you won't find anywhere else, Strong is a legacy all its own. Protect yours with Strong Cotton from Delta Pine Brand. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
This is the Agribusiness Report.
Week after week, we've been seeing the already bad condition ratings for the winter wheat crop get progressively worse. And as we start this week,
unfortunately, another slight overall decline in U.S. winter wheat condition.
USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey says only 27% of the crops rated in good to excellent condition. That's the same as a week ago. However, the poor to very poor pile, that's getting bigger.
We're seeing 39% rated very poor to poor. That's up from 37% a week ago. That's also higher than the 37% that we saw this time last year.
These are national figures. Things a lot worse in places like Kansas, where 60% of the crops in poor to very poor shape. If you crave some good wheat news, Brad says, look at the soft red winter wheat belt.
We actually see more than three quarters of the crop rated good to excellent at this time in Illinois and Indiana, both of those at 77% good to excellent.
And it's 87% in North Carolina. Gary Crawford, Washington.